When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio, ESPNU. Shout out to all of our friends and teammates at ESPN Cleveland for sending the gear today. We do appreciate it. If your ESPN station airs our show in the morning, number one, we appreciate it. Number two, if you want us to display stuff and promote your show, feel free to send us stuff. Smalls is probably going to need the shirt that ESPN Cleveland gave today because she spilled all over herself in typical Michelle Smallman fashion.
I'm not even mad about that. I'm mad that I lost half my Celsius.
Well, we will have to find another one for you or send somebody to go get one for you that you spilled everything all over the place and it was chaos in here.
Yeah. Now, if Celsius just sent you a case, you could go in the control room and pop the top on another one.
That would be amazing. We could keep them here in the studio.
There you go.
Emergency Celsius.
I'm just saying.
I have a funny feeling that that may become. Why would that happen?
Okay.
I think it could happen.
Right.
Just saying.
Need to get my computer.
Why are you always trying to sell stuff?
I'm just saying.
You're always trying to sell stuff.
I'm just saying. Keeping.
We're
mind.
Doing a radio show.
Oh, we are.
yes.
By the way, there was a brawl in the break that we had about this SEC conversation that Pat Costello brought up,
which is utterly ridiculous. By the way.
Yeah, I literally don't even understand the argument anymore that Pat is trying to bring up. The idea that he's sick of the SEC snobs when. The reality is the SEC is just better than everybody else in college football. Alabama has won a bunch. Nick Saban obviously has won a bunch. Georgia has won. Florida has won. LSU. We forgot Auburn. Let's add Auburn to
the Cam Newton.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, like, the conference is just better than every other conference. How is that even a debate anymore? I don't get it.
It's not.
Well,
it's not.
If we even just limit it to the CFP era, which is what, you know, the last, 9 years or so, it's basically just Alabama and Georgia. And then you throw in the one Clemson. It's Nick Saban has just dominated. And so the SEC claims to be this amazing conference, literally on the back of just Nick Saban's dominance.
Yeah, but when you look through the NFL rosters, what conference represents the most players in the NFL? I'm going to guess
SEC,
the SEC.
Every single year.
Without a doubt.
And it's
every
not just Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah.
It's all of the other teams. So like, I literally don't understand what the problem is. Like, what would you like to happen, Pat? What is the solution to this problem?
No, I just think that the SEC fans are smug, and I don't like it.
Well, I'm not saying that you're wrong, but they actually win more than anybody else. I mean, the last 17 championships, only 4 of them have been non-SEC schools.
So what? Like, how do you want the SEC? I don't know how you want them. If it's 13 of 17, you just said.
I need like the Missouris of the world to not be like, oh my god, we're amazing. No, you're not.
Well, they actually got amazing when they went to the SEC. Recruiting probably increased. Eli Drinkwitz, their head coach, is funny with the Connor Stallions references.
He's really funny,
right? Like, he's got personality.
And by the way, the first year that they made the switch when they were still under Gary Pinkel, I believe they were in the SEC championship game. Either that first or second year. So they made an impact right away.
So another horrible example by Pat there, because Missouri is actually a team that can now brag, but previously could not brag.
Yes. Yeah, but I get his point, though, because they are very much the new kids on the block, and it still feels like maybe they shouldn't be banging their chest for the SEC. Like, if the Big Ten was what the SEC is and Rutgers was like, yeah, go Big Ten, I'd be like, relax.
By the way,
Rutgers.
Rutgers getting every college basketball player in America
now.
Chris Carlin is paying these kids off. Well done.
That's it, Michelle. Can the whole, like, if you're a South Carolina fan talking about, oh, the SEC is, you know, it means more and we're this great conference, because there's a lot of that, which is just ridiculous that if Alabama wins, as an SC fan, like, you're celebrating that title.
No. Here's where I disagree with that. So let's say South Carolina and Clemson both have a bad year, right? Just for argument, let's call it they're both 6-6, just for argument's sake. The South Carolina fan and hers or his friend that's a Clemson fan, they have every right to say our 6-6 is better than your 6-6. We play in the SEC, you play in the ACC. You getting to 6-6 is not impressive. Us getting to 6-6 is we're alive a little bit.
Yeah.
Here. Like, there are bragging rights in that spot.
Sure, there are bragging rights, but as a guy that played in the ACC at Virginia, I wasn't rooting for Florida State to get in the college football playoff because they won the ACC championship.
No.
No, there is no claim to be made that we are on the same level as the SEC when it comes to quality of competition throughout the conference. It's just not. It's just not. And it's reflected not only in the championships they win, but the amount of guys that they get drafted year over year.
Yeah, but to Pat's point, though, the Ole Misses of the world or the Mississippi States, they do wear it as a badge of honor. Like, we're at the cool kids' table. We're on the varsity team.
Even though we get our teeth kicked in more smushy.
But they do. They do. They're very much is
but
the...
But they don't now. That's the thing.
We're inflated because we are a part of the SEC.
But if you look at... Okay, so let's look at Ole Miss. They're 11th in the country. They're 10-2. That, in another conference, is undefeated.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
I'm just using them as an example. Even if they're not in the college football playoff, any other team in the SEC wears being in the SEC as a big badge of honor.
As they should. As they should.
I have no problem with it.
Badge of honor, you're not going to win anything, though.
Okay. I'm glad you – I know you were just throwing it out there, and I understand what you're saying about Ole Miss, but I'm actually now going to be specific on that. They have two losses this year. They're two losses against Alabama – and Georgia. Mm-hmm. They beat everyone else on their schedule, including a ranked Tulane team at the time, and they played an SEC schedule. That would indicate that if they were in the ACC or maybe even in the Big Ten, there is a chance that Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss team could have been undefeated, potentially, in that conference, based on what we've seen them do this year.
Mm.
That is where the bragging comes in of, well, we're in the SEC. I agree with CeCe. That is not to say an Ole Miss fan today should be rooting for Alabama because you're in the SEC.
Yeah,
that's
you
crazy.
Can't, you can't hold up Alabama's championships as credibility for
Agreed.
Your own program.
That's nuts.
You can't do that.
All right, we are on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. So Greeny, on Greeny and Get Up yesterday, had an interesting take, of course, on After Us, 10 a.m. Eastern time here on ESPN Radio, about Josh Allen and his place with the Bills in the AFC.
Last week, I'm off with COVID, right? I'm not here, and I'm getting texts from people, oh, they're killing Josh Allen on your show over the interception that he threw in the Philadelphia game.
Yep.
Let me say something about him. There were 106 players in uniform for that game. Of them, by far, the one who played the best was Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. We focus more on the one bad play Josh Allen makes every week than the 60 that almost no one else in history possibly could. His team would be so bad if they didn't ask him to do absolutely everything. He is the most unfairly judged player in the NFL. And a quick final thought, and I'll give it to you. They're playing the Chiefs this weekend.
Yep.
If he had wound up on Kansas City with Andy Reid and those guys, we'd be talking about him as being one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Okay, interesting stuff from Greeny there. Here's my beef with the comments. How can a guy who's turned the ball over as much as he has, how can we apply him to Kansas City and assume the same success when Patrick Mahomes does what he does?
Yeah, 16 turnovers to 33 total touchdowns from Josh Allen this year. Like that's where the numbers are, including a streak of 8 games with an interception. If he's so talented, if he's the most singular talent in the National Football League, why hasn't it translated to overall team success? It's not as if they haven't had a good roster around him. I mean, you look at the last 3 years, you're talking about that team being ranked in the top 5 in offense and defense. Now, last time I checked, Josh Allen don't make no tackles. Well, maybe except when he throws interceptions, then he's forced to tackle. But most of the time, Josh Allen don't make no tackles. And he still had a good defense that's supporting him. I don't understand this conversation around Josh Allen and excusing away the turnovers when outside of points, the most consequential and material stat that we have in the National Football League is turnovers and turnover margin. It literally makes no sense. I don't get why people want to excuse away the mistakes from Josh Allen when we harp on all of these other quarterbacks protecting the football.
Absolutely. That, I think, is the infuriating thing about Josh Allen is because what Greeny said is right. I mean, he makes some unbelievable plays. When you look at the numbers, he is top of the league in so many things, total touchdowns. He's right up there in passing yards, completion percentage. I think he's third in QBR right now. But it's maddening because despite all of the great things that he does, you can set your clock or set your watch to him doing something that's going to put his team at a disadvantage with the turnovers. And unfortunately, you can't tell the story without either one of those things.
Josh,
he's had a top 5 defense 3 years running. 3 years running. Why do we keep making excuses as to why this guy can't get there? Everybody says, oh, he doesn't have enough help. His team would be awful if he wasn't the quarterback. Well, maybe his team ain't getting to where everybody is projecting them to get to because of him. Maybe this team, if he protected the football more, would get to higher heights. I just don't understand why we keep going down this road with Josh Allen trying to explain away the mistakes when they clearly matter in terms of what the upside of the Buffalo Bills are as a franchise.
Do you think he's a top five quarterback still?
No.
Okay.
Top five talent, yes.
Yeah.
Is he playing like a top five quarterback? No.
All right. Let me be real clear with something. When everybody says talent, because here's what this means, right? And I know you have a Parcellsism to go along with this. Talent just means you haven't done it yet.
That's what Parcells used to always say. Mm-hmm. Just means you talent and potential just means you haven't done it yet.
Right. So when you ask that question, Smalls, and CC answers that way, that means I'm looking at a guy that should be a top five quarterback, but I have to add the caveat of talent. And I'll be real clear. Josh Allen is in the conversation every September, October, November, and December because of him. The Buffalo Bills are in that conversation all of those months because of him. And there are times where they fall out of the conversation because of him.
Yeah, but here's the problem, though. When you look at the advanced metrics, the analytics, QBR, Josh Allen is right there at the top of the list.
Yeah, he's
right now, he's third in QBR behind Dak Prescott and Brock Purdy. And to that, I would say, well, Justin Herbert is top five in QBR. Mm. And what has that meant for that team?
Nothing in terms
of
winning.
Not a damn thing.
Right.
And so, again, I'm not saying it's apples to apples, but I'm just pointing out that the stats – they don't tell you the whole story. They tell you a part of the story, but not the whole story. Like RG3 says, it's like a bikini. It shows you a lot, don't show you everything. That's what the numbers do. So everybody uses the numbers to defend the turnovers from Josh Allen. And to that, I would say, look at the team's overall record.
Flip it. Put Josh Allen on the Chiefs with Andy Reid. Put Patrick Mahomes on the Bills. Like Greeny suggested, right? He only went one way. I'll go the other way. Are the Bills winning a Super Bowl the last few years? At any point in the last few years, could they have won the Super Bowl if Patrick Mahomes had that team with those weapons and that defense? My answer is absolutely yes.
And here's the crazy thing. I'm going to say this. Everybody talks about how great Josh Allen is, how awesome he is as a talent. Josh Allen has two more touchdown passes than Pat Mahomes. And Josh Allen has three more interceptions than Pat Mahomes.
This year, Pat Mahomes, everyone's saying the Chiefs offense is down.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Mm-hmm. That is my point. We want to talk about these arguments. Oh, Josh Allen ain't got no help. Josh Allen. I mean, what are we talking about?
I actually think this year has been the most fair year in Josh Allen's career in our assessment of his play. We have all said talent through the roof shows moments of greatness, but we have to be fair and point out the interceptions. You always say, Smalls, play out the guy and put a star on his helmet as if we were treating him like they were on the Cowboys. An analysis and over-analysis of that. If he was a Cowboy quarterback and had all these turnovers, oh, my God.
Well, we've held Dak's feet to the fire when
right.
he's had
we
the
turnovers. We just saw that movie last year with Dak Prescott.
I know.
In the playoffs.
And
we've
think
seen
about
him do
this
twice.
Guy in these the Dallas Cowboys having what CeCe said is a top five talent in the league and then having a guy at that position with an 8-game streak of interceptions. Are we treating him fairly? The answer is yes. We are treating Josh Allen fairly because we're all saying he could be great, but he's not right now.
I think that he is great. He just gets in his own way. I still think he's a top five quarterback.
I wouldn't put him. I agree. Top five talent. Coming up, massive trade in Major League Baseball last night. Juan Soto, future Hall of Fame player, is a member of the New York Yankees. Buster Olney, ESPN Baseball Insider, will join us next to talk Soto, Ohtani, and more around the hot stove with the winter meetings. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. You hear the music. Busta, what it is right now. Yankees get Juan Soto from the Padres. Buster only. ESPN MLB Insider, host of the Baseball Tonight podcast, joins us here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Buster, more interesting to you, why Juan Soto is a Yankee or why he is not a Padre?
Well, I guess it's all tied together, right? By the way, I was just going to mention, I don't know how you guys are functioning today. I mean, Chris Canty is a large man to begin with, and now the Soto trade goes down. I'm sure that there's very little space in there with all of his joy and happiness over his Yankees.
Just wait. Yeah, you Buster. May be surprised on a couple of
Buster, I don't know. I'm skeptical about this one, Buster, just because all of the big swings that Brian Cashman has made in recent years haven't necessarily panned out. So I'm in wait-and-see mode, but because they did acquire Juan Soto in this trade, what does that mean for not only his long-term future in the pinstripes, but for Brian Cashman as well?
Well, I mean, let's face it, the Yankees are betting a lot on 2024. Aaron Boone's going to be in the last year of his contract. The Yankees, you know, make the big move for Juan Soto for 1 year, because as I'm sure you guys have discussed, he's a free agent after next season. He's represented by Scott Boras. He's going to test the free agent market. And they're right in the middle of this bidding for Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who's going to turn out to be the highest paid pitcher, I think, in the history of baseball when his contract is decided. So they're throwing everything into the middle of the pot. I say this, I mean, Juan Soto is a future Hall of Famer. He's an incredible hitter. He's had a remarkable start to his career that's really only been done by Ted Williams before him. The one thing I would say, and remember, when he got traded to San Diego, guys, he really struggled for a couple months. And, you know, I talked to guys on that team, and they thought that he was struggling with the adjustment, midseason trade, going to a new team, a new market, feeling the pressure of that to San Diego. You know, so what will that adjustment be to New York? I think he'll be fine. I think he's going to hit. You know, he and Judge hitting at the top of the lineup with the increased depth of the Yankees batting order. I think it's going to be a big boost for the Yankees for next year, especially with Soto in a contract year. And does he return? I mean, we'll just have to wait and see what the asking price is going to be, because you know Scott. Soto might be happy with the Yankees in 2024, but it's going to come down to the dollars when he becomes a free agent.
Buster, thinking about their lineup in 2024 after this move and after the Alex Verdugo trade, what ends up happening with Giancarlo Stanton? Because it feels like if you're not going to have him DH, you're really not going to have him in the lineup. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of room for him in a now crowded outfield.
I think that going into spring training, you know, the Yankees are going to give him every chance and hope that, you know, he rebounds. But as this season plays out, it sounds strange to say for, you know, a guy who's owed about $100 million, four years left on his contract, but I think he's going to have to hit for his playing time, because they have enough depth. When you look at a projected Yankees lineup, look, Juan Soto made it very clear, Boras made it very clear to the Padres, he's more comfortable hitting third. So you would assume Aaron Judge is going to hit two, Soto hits three, and then is it a done deal that Stanton starts out hitting fourth? I don't think so. I think they might start the year with him hitting six off of last year's performance. And as the year goes along, look, they would be thrilled if he bounced back and was reestablished as a number four hitter and as dangerous as he's been in the past. But I think he's going to have to earn that.
Buster, one more question for you about the Yankees and Juan Soto. With the arrival of Soto, we'll likely see Aaron Judge get more playing time at center field. Are you concerned at all about that, about the potential wear and tear of him being in center more often?
No, Michelle, because, you know, he's demonstrated that he's very comfortable out there, that he can handle it. Judge is a physical freak, and he'll be totally fine. And look, their defense with Verdugo in right field, you would assume, with Soto in left field, with Stanton being the DH. You know, I think they'll be okay. And with Soto's offense, that they'll hit past it. I am curious about, you know, what happens with Yamamoto, who's got, you know, the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Giants, all these big market teams going after him. It's the perfect storm of bidding for him.
A lot of those teams also went on Shohei Ohtani, Buster. What can you tell us about the Ohtani sweepstakes? Who do you think has the lead right now?
Well, I don't know, to be honest. And as one general manager said to me during the year, nobody knows what he wants. Anybody who pretends to know what exactly he wants is full of crap. You know, I'm cleaning up the quote for you guys. you know, the expectation is that he's gonna make his decision soon. He's making all these visits, you know, to the Blue Jays, to the, you know, the Dodgers, to the Giants, maybe to other teams. And, you know, we'll see where he lands in the end. I thought all along that he's going to wind up with the Dodgers, who absolutely covet him. I had one person in the organization tell me that Andrew Friedman, the head of baseball ops for the Dodgers, is obsessed with getting Ohtani. And just imagine a front three in their order of Mookie Betts hitting one, and Shohei Ohtani hitting two, and Freddie Freeman hitting three. That would be dangerous. That would be awesome to see. If he winds up with the Blue Jays, then, you know, him and Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and George Springer, that would be pretty formidable too.
Buster, did Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, potentially hurt their cause by speaking about it?
If he did, it's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in sports.
explain, because you wrote a story about this at .com. Explain this.
I did. I mean, here's Dave Roberts, who's one of the best and most respectful people in the sport, being asked by reporters the other day, have you guys met with Ohtani? By the way, you know, if a player is a free agent, the teams are free to talk about him under the collective bargaining agreement. And Dave, you know, says out loud, yeah, we met with Ohtani. Newsflash, biggest spending team in baseball has interest in the most prominent player in the sport, right? He states the obvious, but at the beginning of this process, Ohtani's camp was sending out word that if you talk out loud about Ohtani's free agency, if you talk about your interest, you know, you're going to be put on double secret probation and you might get demerits, which was met with a lot of eye rolls within front offices. Like, come on. Like, let's not take ourselves too seriously here, to the degree that, you know, when there was a story early on that the Cubs had interest, they were worried, you know, does that mean that they're going to be taken out of it? It's really dumb. This is the, you know, the most prominent player in baseball now. He's an international star. Everybody loves to love him. He's an incredibly unique talent. And that should be celebrated. Like, everyone, you know, including Ohtani, I think, should embrace this. I mean, just imagine the other day when he met with the Toronto Blue Jays. After that, Ross Atkins, the general manager of the Blue Jays, did a Zoom call, and he wouldn't acknowledge interest in Ohtani, wouldn't talk about Ohtani, and he was sitting, he did the Zoom call in front of a white wall, like he was in a prison someplace. And you think how different it would be if Ohtani just did 10 minutes on a Zoom with reporters, said, boy, I met with the Blue Jays. You know, I love the idea of maybe hitting with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and, you know, being at this incredible complex they put together. And, oh, by the way, you know what? I love what the Blue Jays are doing with their charity. I'm going to donate $50,000 to Jays Care. You know, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk to your organization. And it would have been positive, and it would have been, you know, part of the celebration of Ohtani. Instead, you have a great person like Dave Roberts having to, you know, wonder if he blew the chance for the Dodgers. It really is silly.
Buster, great job as always. I'm sure we'll have you on again as soon as Ohtani makes his decision. Thank you so much for the
Thanks,
time.
Thanks, Buster.
Thanks, Buster.
All right, guys. Good luck, Chris.
ESPN MLB Insider, senior writer, host of the Baseball Tonight podcast. Buster Olney there joining us and obviously very passionate about the Ohtani thing. The one add-on I would have is if we're going to argue that Ohtani is hurting the publicity and the buzz around the sport by not making his free agency big, it's not like his teammate has helped with that. Mike Trout, nobody knows anything about him other than he likes the weather and the Eagles.
Yeah, but Mike Trout has always been locked into the Angels. It's never been close that he's gotten out of Anaheim.
But it's never
been close.
But that's not good for baseball.
No, exactly.
No, I guess it's not, but I mean, how are you going to incentivize guys to take shorter-term deals when there's so much money to be had? If somebody's going to offer me a $420 million contract, even if it's going to be, I don't care what the terms are. It's $420 million fully guaranteed. I don't care about it being a 10-year deal. But that's the problem that Major League Baseball runs into, because these guys get locked up for their entire careers once they hit free agency. It takes away from the opportunity to have that kind of player movement.
We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Yeah, okay,
he does this because he wears these jackets every day. He's got a million bomber jackets, flight jackets, members-only jackets. However you describe he's got a million of those jackets, and he wears it with the hoodie. Yeah. And because he's layered up, he gets hot quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So he comes into the studio before anybody else does and puts the thermostat on 60. It's freezing in here.
On everything. I don't touch it.
So why does the thermostat say 67 left out of here yesterday? It was on 71.
Well, I'm glad you asked, because there was a tweet that went out from our teammates here at ESPN Radio. You hear him 3P to 7P Eastern with Freddie Coleman, Harry Douglas.
Yes.
Harry sent out a tweet yesterday, okay, where he said, "When I owe, I pay up at Unsports ESPN." That is our Twitter handle, okay, and the Dr. Pepper inbox. He then posted a video of him putting money into our bad take jar, which you can see on ESPNU, when something happens and it goes wrong. Now, here's the thing. I don't know that we have a full explanation of what happened, but according to sources close to me, it may have been with the temperature. He has been known to mess with our temperature and then not fix it after the fact.
So I ran into one Harry Douglas in the hallway during a commercial break today.
Aha!
And he said to me, "I paid up." And I said, "For what?" He goes, "Because I messed with the thermostat." And I said, "You did? I didn't know." So he is the culprit, and he has admitted to it.
Well,
but
then,
I think, though, because—
No, okay, don't put this on me. If you knew that and you knew it was messed with, then is it on you to fix the thermostat?
But I only knew that as of like 15 minutes ago.
Well, did you fix it?
No, I did not. I did not. I was running back in here
to spill Celsius
to spill all over.
But you knew it was cool in here, and you decided that you weren't going to try to adjust it to help your teammates out.
That's as a fashion icon like I am, with the hoodie and the bomber jackets, I was trying to show off my hoodie bomber jacket combo package.
Yeah, he's the Aaron Rodgers of sports radio.
Thank you. First ballot Hall of Famer.
There you go. First ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah. When you open up your closet, is it just one layer of hoodies and then another layer of jackets?
Yes. I imagine that's how it is.
Just two rods. Just you open the door.
And they're color-coded from light to dark?
That's exactly.
You know what's amazing? I actually have more button-down shirts than I do hoodies or jackets. And I never wear buttons.
I don't believe him.
I'll take a picture.
We have been doing this show for months. And other than one day when we were doing the Jimmy V day.
And we called you a car salesman.
And you looked
No, that's 2 days then. So there's the car salesman day and then there's the Jimmy V day.
Okay, so 2 days in what, 3 months?
Yeah.
Over 3 months?
Over 100 shows, yeah.
Have I never seen you wear a hoodie jacket combo? And you don't really repeat.
So, I haven't repeated
So there's
once.
No way that you have more button-down shirts than hoodie jacket combos. And if you do, that's alarming.
I swear. I'm telling you the truth. Oh I God. Absolutely do. I mean, I don't know. What do you want me to say? I'm
just as an add-in, yeah, I haven't repeated. Not one combination.
Yeah.
No, not
just,
one.
Just as an add-in.
So how many hoodies and jackets do you own?
I feel like this is a math problem. Yeah. I was told there would be no math when I started this show.
This is the SATs.
Exactly. Evan has 10 hoodies and he's got 10 jackets. How many different combinations can he
make? If he does 100 shows, how many combos will we see from him?
I got a lot, but I'm telling you, I have more button-down shirts. I promise you that. I really do.
Do you have more different combinations than Jets have starting quarterbacks?
No,
7 over 2 years. So, yes, actually, I do. So, it's 7 different Jets quarterbacks over the last 2 years, including Zach Wilson. Well, now, this is interesting. Do you go stints or do you go different quarterbacks? Because this is Zach Wilson's, like, 10th stint, it feels
it's a
like,
point.
As a starting
it's a great
quarterback.
Point. Let's go stints.
Well, now I don't know because you can do the math on that while I play this because Robert Saleh, head coach of the New York Jets, played audio. I'm going to play the audio. Robert Saleh of the New York Jets explained his decision yesterday for why he believes after telling us Zach Wilson doesn't give them the best chance to win, he now does give them the best chance to win.
I've always believed he was the best best quarterback in terms of giving us a chance to win. You know, Tim and Trevor. Trying to spark the offense and all that, and those two are very talented quarterbacks. Don't get me wrong, but in my opinion, Zach gives us the best chance to win.
You always thought he gave you guys the best chance to win?
For sure.
Then why did you? Then why do you bench him?
Well, when things aren't going good, obviously we haven't been scoring. Trying anything to get the offense going, and we've tried everything, and so we're just settling in now and just see what we can get done.
I'm at a loss because he's at a loss. He's saying things that don't make sense. He pled the fifth a few weeks ago on the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 in New York. And
when he did that, it made it feel as if it wasn't his decision to explore a different option at quarterback. Because that was the conversation, right? That's the context around it. The Michael Kay Show, they were asking him, have you considered another quarterback as an option to be your starter? And he pleaded the fifth. So it made it seem like, yeah, guys, I've considered it, but I can't speak on it because it's not my decision. And then to now turn around and say, yeah, I knew all along that Zach gave us the best chance to win, it feels a bit disingenuous. And if you're a player in that locker room, how can you trust anything your head coach is telling you in terms of giving us a chance to win games each and every week from here on out?
Also, even if your offense is stagnant, does it sound like a winning formula to remove the starting quarterback that you think gives you the best chance to win from that equation to jumpstart your offense? Patrick Mahomes gives the Chiefs the best chance to win. Their offense has not looked the same. Is the answer to remove Patrick Mahomes as quarterback? Taking away what you deem to be the best option for you as your starting quarterback in an effort to jumpstart the offense, that to me just seems like a bad math equation. That's not going to work out. So he's clearly trying to cover up the fact that Zach Wilson is not the best option. He's just the only option they have right now.
Yeah, whatever's happening, they're not communicating the message correctly, in my opinion, because what you just said is dead on. It's like, okay, if this is the guy that gives you the best chance to win, why was he not playing? He didn't give you the best chance to win. I think you just have to simply say, if you're Robert Saleh, I am given a roster of players that we are working every single day to coach up. Our starting quarterback that we built a lot around is no longer here. He is injured. We hope he comes back. Zach Wilson is someone we believed in. We've seen signs from Zach Wilson. There were moments he wasn't that good. Zach knows it. I know it. We know it. I tried to provide a spark to the team. Tim Boyle went in. He wasn't that good. He's no longer on our team. We're going to give it another shot. We don't have many choices right now. Our defense is great. We believe our skill position players are great. We need to protect the quarterback better, and we are going to continue trying until we figure something out to at least buy the time until Aaron gets back. Next question.
Yeah, but none of that feels believable to the media, to the fan base, but most importantly to the guys in the locker room.
But that's true. That is literally
watching
what
the
it
circus.
Is.
Well, here, you might say it's true, but then what does that do for the credibility of your head coach? Like, why should I trust anything that you have to say when it comes to us trying to find a way to win any of the games that we have remaining on our schedule? And that's the part where I think the Jets are at a crossroads as an organization, because you run the risk with all of the losing of the locker room turning on the head coach. I don't give a damn who is running the organization, whether it's Joe Douglas, Woody Johnson, Rob Saleh, Aaron Rodgers. If you lose 10 straight games, then all of a sudden, whoever the authoritarian figure is in that organization, the other guys in the locker room ain't going to listen to them. They're not.
The reality is.
So that's where the Jets are at. If they think that they're going to run this thing back in 2024, like Damian Woody and others have suggested, after losing what? 5 straight already and potentially 10 straight if they lose out? There's no chance that they have of being able to have the type of culture in place that'll allow this team to contend for a playoff spot and a championship with Aaron Rodgers.
I think that the Jets have obviously done a terrible job. I think we all know that. There is only one coach that I think could win with this circus right now, and that's Mike Tomlin. He's the only coach in the league that has been able to prove that he can win with quote-unquote nothing. But Mike Tomlin would have never allowed this to become a circus.
No.
Never.
And that's where, whether it's Saleh, Douglas, Hackett, Rodgers, Wilson, all of those, Woody Johnson, the owner of the team, all of them have contributed to their own demise here.
But even when Ben Roethlisberger was the quarterback, Mike Tomlin was the authority figure in that organization.
And he put a lid on some very tricky situations.
Absolutely. But there was no question ever, despite all the star power on those Steelers teams, who was in charge. And it was Mike Tomlin. You cannot say the same about the New York Jets.
Oh, we know who's in charge.
But that's the problem.
He's wearing number 8 on a sideline, and as Travis Kelce said, his game days are Tuesdays with Pat McAfee.
Yeah, but number 8 is not out there on the field, right. And number 8 is not getting his head beat in like the guys on the defensive side of the ball, because the offense can't move the ball. So everything that he wants to do and going out and getting his buddies, I don't care if he gave back $35 million. Those roster spots, those dudes ain't helping us do nothing. Alan Lazard has been a nothing burger. This dude was a healthy scratch. And he was a huge free agent signing this offseason. You bought in Randall Cobb. You got Billy Turner. You got all of these dudes, not to mention Nathaniel Hackett, whose offense has scored a grand total of 4 touchdowns over the last 88 possessions. These are all Rodgers people, and none of them have contributed to what this team is doing. All of them dudes ain't hurt. It's just Rodgers that's hurt. And so you mean to tell me that we're getting in bed with Aaron Rodgers and all of these people that he said we needed in order to get us where we want to go? Can't none of them contribute to our success as a team this year? That is absolutely unacceptable. And that's why they can't stay the course, run this thing back, and think that things are going to materially change.
All right, coming up, we're going to get into the NBA in-season tournament. It's been a huge success. But what happened to cause it, and what's going to happen after it? We will get to that after CeCe has this from Vivid Seats.
Bowl season, basketball, hockey, pro football are all in action, and Vivid Seats has it all for you and your ticket gifting needs this holiday season. See every one-timer, every touchdown, every dunk live and in person with great deals on great seats. Plus, with Vivid Seats rewards, you earn rewards with every purchase. They're here for us fans, offering unbeatable rewards like surprise seat upgrades, free tickets, annual birthday discounts, and more. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. In-season tourney semis in Vegas today. Austin Rivers is here.
What's up?
ESPN NBA analyst. Unless an NBA team wants to call him in the next 5 minutes, he's out. I'm just saying. You're gone.
I'm gone.
Like, that would be great.
He's out of here.
And he's already ready for the walk-in, too. I mean, you see the suit.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm ready to go right now.
That's the intro?
You see the suit.
Yeah.
That's the walk-in outfit.
Oh, I know.
Right there. Yeah, that thing is clean.
Well, now I'm hoping my team, the Miami
Heat,
call
him. Can't hide money. Can't hide it.
I want the Heat to call him as a Heat fan, because then I have the connection right to another Heat.
Why do you always work your teams into the show, man?
Say that again?
Oh, no, he wants to go there. I know, because there's a lot of Duke connections to the Heat.
Man,
Nick
Harrison. I'm trying,
am I right?
Yeah.
So here's the question I have for you. On the in-season tournament, I think everyone has deemed it to be an unbelievable success. It's been awesome.
Yeah.
But it's a reactionary move that I'm nervous about what happens after the fact. Let me explain. I think the in-season tournament happened because of load management, that Adam Silver wanted the players to care more. When it's over, are players going to load manage because they played in the in-season tournament?
I don't think so. You know, well, that's, I hope not. You know, that's what you don't want. It has been a huge success. It's promoted competitive atmosphere, you know, within the regular season that we haven't seen in a while. You got guys, LeBron's playing over 40 minutes in these games. Are you saying after this might he have a couple games where he has a left ankle soreness? Maybe. He's deserved it, though. Well, what we don't want to see is young stars doing this, if anything. I think LeBron in year 21 can afford to take a couple games off. But what you don't want is this to be an issue that you see, like you said, after this tournament where you have young guys now missing continued games, as Zion Williams, per se. So hopefully not.
Austin, there's been a sentiment about an in-season tournament that this team's competing for this trophy could be a confidence builder and somewhat of a springboard into potentially getting to the playoffs.
100%.
Going on a deep playoff run. Like, we're hearing that about Oklahoma City Thunder. You're hearing that about other young teams that are potentially in the mix, particularly the Indiana Pacers. What say you about the potential for something like this to win a trophy in the regular season? What can that do for a team in terms of preparing them for postseason basketball?
It reminds me, you know, in college when a team wins like a conference tournament.
Yeah.
And
it
springboards them into the NCAA tournament with a lot of confidence.
Like the ACC tournament?
Yeah, something like that, right? Yeah. You win that and then you go into the big dance with a lot of confidence. Something like this could definitely help bring a young team like the Pacers a lot of confidence. This is a team that essentially doesn't get a lot of TV time. People don't talk about them. They're in, you know, Indianapolis, in the middle of the Midwest. Send the Lakers or Miami, where they're getting all this attention. A team like this goes and wins the tournament, or New Orleans Pelicans, it does a lot for the team in the city. Yeah.
Austin, I wanted to ask you about another team that's getting a lot of attention, newfound attention, in the Orlando Magic. They're off to a hot start, 14-7. Are the Magic here to stay? What are you seeing out of them?
I do. Their biggest strength is they play hard. They outwork people on a night-to-night basis. And I think it's important to see what the Magic are doing with who they're doing it with. You know, in the past, they've had a couple years, even in short-term memory, where they've made the playoffs, but they've been eliminated first round. But it's with a lot of older guys, a mix of, you know, random players. They're having success now with guys they drafted. You know what I mean? This is like youth that's performing well. That's the most exciting thing you want to see from any team that's doing the rebuild. This is a team that's rebuilding. Now they have young, talented guys that they've drafted that are performing. It's really exciting to see. Shout out to Coach Mosley, too.
Hello, Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN Radio, ESPNU, Austin Rivers, ESPN NBA analyst here. CC's a huge Lakers fan. They've been playing well.
Yeah.
LeBron's playing a lot of minutes.
A lot.
Can that continue and they continue to be contenders, or are they risking potentially him getting, God forbid, hurt?
They're the most relevant team in the league.
They're
the Cowboys of the NBA?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Man, year 21,
21.
You know, 30, 35 to 40 minutes a game, it's a lot. He did say the other night he's destined to beat Father Time and give him his first loss.
Yeah.
I can't put it past LeBron. He has been, I mean, every time we even start to doubt him, it seems like he always ends up proving us wrong. It is a lot of minutes, though. AD has to be, and I don't want to say like MVP or not, but he has to be like a top 10 player for them to have a chance to go somewhere far, because it alleviates a lot of pressure that's on LeBron right now. He's having to close these games. You watch the end of these games, man. Mm-hmm. The ball's in his hands every damn play.
Yeah.
Every play. He's controlling the game. I think for them to have success, AD can't have these second halves where he shoots like 2-3 shots. You've seen it multiple times this year where he goes through these lapses, and he's just too good of a player. And I played it. I came in with AD. We were drafted together, and he's one of the most talented players I've ever played with.
I'd like to see it every single game in the playoffs rather than every other game, but that's just me.
Inside out. When he starts inside out and plays bully ball and goes through people and plays physical, that's the best AD you're going to get. When he relies on the jump shot too much and starts out the game shooting jumpers, those are the games where he can be a little bit more inconsistent. I like him getting a feel around the basket and then working himself out. That's the best AD you're going to get.
Well, the team that bullied AD and the Lakers in the playoffs last year, the Denver Nuggets, they're on their way to winning a championship. They lost last night to the Clippers.
They did.
And I wanted to ask you, like, I know there's been a lot of chatter around the Clippers, especially after they traded for James Harden.
Yeah.
It's been uneven, but last night it felt like the best version of this team that we have seen. How much stock should we put in that win that they had last night over the Denver Nuggets?
Definitely some, because, you know, I think a lot of people were so quick to write the Clippers off, and it seems like James has just become an easy punching bag.
No doubt.
For a lot of people, a lot of that just due to maybe the way he's handled things, people don't agree with, whatever. Regardless of which, that dude averaged 20-plus points per game and 12 assists last year, led the league in assists. This guy's no scrub. You know, James is still the real deal. Is he Houston James that I play with? No. But he's still a prime-time player.
He don't have to be with the Clippers.
No, but
either.
That's exactly the point.
But does he want to be?
He don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. So it don't even matter. You know, I mean, their best player is Kawhi and Paul George. That's the standard. They've done a great job now staggering minutes. Russ has been huge in that. And coming off the bench, even last game, he's not even finishing the game. I think yesterday he played 15 minutes. You know, no ego with Russ. That's huge. Someone had to sacrifice. He's been that. Do I think this is the team that's going to come out the West? I don't think so. But they are going to be difficult in a seven-game series, all four of them.
Defensively, they can, in a league that don't play a lot of defense, they can give people problems.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. But there was a part of you just now that like kind of started playing out, Austin, that maybe they could be good. I thought that was interesting because like I'm not a James Harden guy. And these guys know when that trade happened, I'm like, maybe this could possibly be the first time it really does work because he has to take a backseat. Austin Rivers, ESPN NBA analyst, available for you out there, NBA teams. If you're looking for a guard, a scoring guard, combo guard off the bench, play a little defense, whatever role it is.
I'm in shape.
He's there for you. I mean, we want him back on our show.
He's awesome.
Awesome
analyst.
I guess we could have him in the NBA as well. Thank you, Austin. We do appreciate it. Coming up, Belichick and Tomlin tonight. Not the usual version of it. We'll get to that next.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.